In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Please be seated. I chose that as an offertory hymn for the Eucharist that we had during my wedding with my wife, Amy. And she said, you know, that's a funeral dirge. Am I supposed to read something into that? And I said, no. No, I think it's a beautiful song. And it's actually really good for offertory, anyway. Jesus said, which one of you, having a hundred sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost? Okay, so this famous gospel reading gives us Good Shepherd Sunday, but it also tells us something about God's character and about our own nature that I think Jesus is trying to highlight. And I don't think it's as simple as the image we have of, you know, usually long-haired, usually bearded Jesus with the lamb over his shoulders, or maybe hugging a lamb. It's a sweet image, but it's also simple. And I think there's more to this story than that. I think there's more in this story that Jesus wants us to hear. His parable is a response to a phenomenon which has been with us as long, probably as long as religion itself. And it still typifies us as churchgoers, whether we like it or not, and many members of our faith in the U.S. and abroad, and members of other faiths too. The Pharisee said, this fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them. It's a disposition which drives smart and creative young people from our doors in droves. Drives them away from any interest in the church, the Bible, or any of it. Petty judgmentalism. And yes, Jesus' words speak to God's posture, God's interest in pursuing us when we go astray. Sure. And of course, that's important. Yeah. But here, Jesus addresses the righteous, the saved, the churchgoers, with his parables. He said, which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost? And he uses our attitudes toward secular things, sheep or money, to illustrate God's attitude towards sinners. If we could get over the idea of being right and settle for being connected, for being loving people, this wouldn't be such a tough lesson for so many to learn, I think. So consider this with me. Maybe this gospel passage doesn't have anything to do with us being lost sheep in need of rescuing from the big guy, so much as our role in all of this. There are different ways to see this story. But as I've received this story over the years, it's always the sinner who repents. Excuse me, yes, the sinner who repents is you, is the one who's listening to the story. You, me, the listener. But as I revisit it now, I'm struck. It seems that the sinner who repents is one whose encounter with God is facilitated by you. You understand? Facilitated by me. Facilitated by the listener. Repentance is a response of the sinner who has been met not with petty judgment of the faithful, but with love. Judgmental attitudes are tired, predictable. They reflect the worst we have to offer, as a faith, as a culture, as human beings. But to be open, to receive people as they are, this carries a message in itself. I'm interested in you. I want to understand you. I want to share a meal with you. The fire of the Holy Spirit charges this approach with the power of God. 2,000 years ago, Jesus was telling uppity Pharisees why he was friends with these interesting sinners, why he loved them. Why now are Christians still known for their uptight, priggish judgment of those who are not like them? Now I know I'm preaching to the converts here. I know this. But the call today is to recall in our hearts the God who changed his mind in Exodus. I want to just take a moment and look at that again. Moses negotiating for his people with God. It really is beautiful. Moses implored the Lord his God and said, "Why does your wrath burn hot against your people, whom you brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians say it was with evil intent he brought them out to kill them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth?" So not only God, but the God of the Old Testament. And not just the Old Testament God, but the one that we get to know in Exodus, is saying, "Well, you know, maybe I had the wrong idea, and I guess Moses is right, and I'm going to change my mind and not be so judgmental." If that God can do it, surely we can inspire other Christians to join us and welcome others with open arms. And not even the love the sinner or hate the sin business. How about just love? We can do that, right? And not only can we do it, but we can do it in a way that inspires others to join us. I think that's a beautiful vision. I think it's something we've been called to since before Jesus' day. Surely it was so stale a problem by that time that Jesus said, "Hey, hang on, you Pharisees, why don't you listen to me right now?" And he told them these parables. Here's another beautiful line in our readings today, in Psalm 51. Verse 7, "For behold, you look for truth deep within me." Consider that for a moment. The writer of this psalm has sinned gravely. And he says here in verse 7, "You, God, look for truth within me, a sinner." That means there's truth there to be found. There's something to be interested in. We're called to join God in this effort. Sure, sometimes we're the sheep that needs to be found. But what's more important here is that sometimes we join in God's efforts to find the lost. And I'm not talking about asking people that have heard of Jesus. Of course, people have heard of Jesus. I'm talking about the real work of receiving people with love. Connection. It's so important, it can't be overemphasized. And yet, it's a hard thing to maintain for ourselves. One thing I encounter as a therapist is when we've protected ourselves from pain for long enough, eventually we can lose the ability to connect with others. Well, sometimes it's time to come back to ourselves and remember that to feel love, you also have to be able to feel pain. It's painful to love. Welcome to being a human being. It's just the way it is. So I think the call today is to recall in our hearts the God from the Old Testament who changed his mind, the one who looks for truth in the sinner in Psalm 51, and with whom we share an itch to find that which is lost and return it to the loving bosom of our Redeemer. Our image should closely align more closely aligned to Jesus than to the Pharisees. I think you're up to the task, all of you, all of you. And I think I am too, but always with support and with God's help. Amen.